And yet, as we live stream Jesus's protest, I wouldn't want us to miss the truth that the confrontational nature of the protest that Jesus initiated was also circumscribed. There were limits. Jesus didn't go in and burn the whole temple down. Jesus didn't loot the local Walmart or burglarize the neighborhood bodega. Yes, Jesus ran the offenders out and turned over their tables. But there was no wanton destruction. There was just enough confrontation to accomplish the goal of calling to account the oppressor, of letting the oppressor know that they were wrong, and ensuring that those who were the perpetuators of that wrong paid for what they'd done. I want you to see here that Jesus' protest was measured. It was confrontational, yes, but its nature was also carefully circumscribed to achieve its goal. Again, the text preaches itself. Replay Mark's live stream. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Three things I want you to see that Jesus did that tells us that his protest was circumscribed. Number one, the prince of protesters drove out the oppressor. Number two, he overturned their ill-gotten gain. And number three, he took steps to ensure that what he protested against would not reoccur. Listen, we're talking about protesting like Jesus. We need to pay attention to what Jesus did. First of all, Jesus drove out the oppressor. Jesus's circumscribed protest, his circumscribed confrontation, pressed forward until the entrenched evil was cast out. Let me be clear. Protesting like Jesus means that the protest can't be over until the oppressor has been ousted, until number 45 and his merry band of thieves are removed from 1600 Black Lives Matter Plaza. Protesting can't end until Chauvin and his racist thug accomplices are prosecuted and convicted. Protest must continue until the McCleary posse of Glenn, Georgia is jailed so that they may never again hunt down a black man. Protest must continue until the officers who shot and killed Breonna Taylor in her own home are brought to justice, until those white citizens who call the police on black citizens who have the unmitigated gall to eat or drink or walk or sit in a park while black are made to pay a criminal price for racist behavior. We got to hold their feet to the fire. That's what protest is, and that's what Jesus did. There can be no letting up until there's victory. And listen, let me tell you something that I hope you take to heart. Victory may not happen overnight. In fact, it ain't going to happen overnight. We've got to keep on protesting beyond June of 2020. You see, protests that end before the oppressor is thrown out are just waste of time. We got to protest like Jesus. Protest until we throw the bums out. This protest must continue through the elections in November. Listen, if you're out in the street protesting and of voting age, you need to get your hind parts registered to vote. Again, I'm telling you that the goal of protesting is to drive out the oppressor. In our current context, that means number five and all of his administration got to go. It also means that we need to vote out these crazy people in the down ballot congressional races and in state and local government. These racist jerks, I'm trying to use preaching approved language, these racist jerks must go. But it will take the vote of those who are protesting. And let me tell you this about the Electoral College, because people keep talking about that. The Electoral College has absolutely no influence on any race anywhere other than the presidential race. You go vote. Don't worry about the Electoral College. You go vote. Even if the Electoral College hands us the worst result and we have to suffer four more years of orange madness, a Congress that will hold the next president accountable, a Congress that will pass anti-lynching legislation with the same speed and diligence with which it appoints conservative justices to the federal bench, will go a long way toward driving out the oppressor. We're going to have to keep protesting, keep being confrontational about injustice until the oppressor is thrown out. But let me draw your attention to a second aspect of Jesus' circumscribed protest. So I want you to see that the text reveals Jesus overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. See, overturning tables and seats is a statement about both, number one, taking away ill-gotten gains from the oppressor, and number two, about making restitution to those who have been harmed by the oppressive system. Jesus' model of protest says to us that those who have been taken advantage of must be recompensed from the pockets of those who stole from them in the first instance. Watch the text. The thieves, that is the money changers and the animal vendors, the thieves have been run out, but their tables and chairs are turned over. They've been run out and their tables and chairs are turned over, but the money, watch it, the money is still there. The money that they made that day is still there. Jesus turns it all over and dumps it out so that the money that was stolen can make its way back into the pockets of the people who've been fleeced. Read the text carefully. Jesus didn't throw everyone out of the temple, just the thieves, just the money changers and the animal vendors. That's who Jesus threw out. If we would protest like Jesus, we've got to first clean house, and then after cleaning house, we got to give back to those who have been misused and abused by the system. We give back by taking from those who benefited from the evil system that they perpetuated. See, the problem with looting is that the neighborhood 7-Eleven didn't do nothing to the George Floyds, Breonna Taylors, and the Ahmaud Arbery's, or the Philando Castile's of this world. No, state government and federal government did this evil to us. State government and federal government is responsible for this evil because they keep on hiring people and then looking the other way when these police officers, these thug, rogue police officers abuse citizens with the noted and continuing help of evangelicals. I wish y'all would hear me. Don't misdirect understandable ire to destroy neighborhoods and businesses. No, no. Sue the municipalities who hire these thugs. Sue the municipalities who hire these rogue police officers. And then when they mess up in one place, they just leave and go get another job in another department. And nobody cares. Nobody says anything. We just accepted as business as usual. We've got to change business as usual through the municipalities. Demand that prosecutors pursue criminal charges against these thug officers in blue uniforms. Let your protest be confrontational, but let it be circumscribed. And finally, the text says that Jesus brought the entire system to a halt. Jesus did not end his protest until he had made certain that no one could bring any more items through the temple, that no one could perpetuate the evil system that took advantage of the least of these. Watch the text. No more wares means no more sales. The text says that he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. No wares, no more sales, no more need for money changers charging exorbitant prices. Jesus shut it all down. Here, by his actions, the Prince of Protest makes clear that protest cannot end until there is reform. Our protest must continue until the evil system is put to an end. Now listen, the protest may change format. In fact, I believe that it must change format. Nobody can march all day, every day. But we must, by all means at our disposal, keep the confrontational, circumscribed protest moving forward. How do we protest? First of all, we can stop electing racists and stop electing misogynists and homophobes. We can stop allowing the appointment of police chiefs who are not serious about policing the police officers under their command. How can we continue to protest? We can hold governors and presidents responsible for the ways in which their attorneys general prosecute cases. We can demand that legislators pass laws that protect the public from police brutality. How can we continue to protest? We can demand that legislators pass laws that criminalize calling the police on black citizens for the crime of being black in public. How can we continue to protest? We can insist that the Senate pass anti-lynching legislation with the same alacrity that they put federal judges on the Article 3 bench. We can demand that Congress impeach and remove unjust leaders. That's how we continue the protest in the future. We've got to stop letting racists carry their wares through the American justice system under the guise of law and order. I'm trying to tell you, we need to protest like Jesus. That's what Jesus did. He protested until he brought it all to a halt. I say again, Jesus, the Prince of Protest himself, protested. It was confrontational. It got in the faces and under the skins of those who perpetuated and benefited from a long-standing evil system. Jesus's protest was confrontational. And it was also circumscribed. It was limited. It was focused on achieving its goal, the end of an oppressive system. And finally, it should be noted that Jesus's protest was comprehensive. It was not protest just for protest's sake. Jesus was not looking for a photo op. Jesus was not looking for something to do. Jesus was not looking for a little side gig. No, Jesus was committed to doing something about the unjust system that oppressed the people around him. Jesus saw a corrupt system that took advantage of God's children, so Jesus protested to bring healing to all. You see, Jesus' protest brought restoration to those who were wrong. He left the money that was scattered as the money changers and the animal sellers ran from the temple, money that the marginalized could use to recoup their losses. But note that Jesus also demonstrated compassion for the oppressor. In his protest, Jesus did not seek to kill the oppressor. Jesus did not seek to oppress the oppressor. I want us to remember that in our protesting, we ought not seek to become the new oppressor. Rather, the goal of protest ought to be comprehensive reconciliation. The protest needs to look beyond the right now and embrace the not yet. Protest needs to be prophetic in that it is not limited by what is, but that it sees the possibilities of what God wills to be. That's why Jesus moves to teaching after he's accomplished the circumscribed confrontation inherent in his protest. Watch the text. All of the stories conclude after Jesus' protest. They all say he began to teach. Jesus said to them. See, Jesus, after the protest, Jesus began to teach that the temple was to be for all, that it was a house of prayer for all people. After protest, there's teaching, teaching designed to bring healing and closure. Teaching to bring all in alignment with the will of God. But that comes after protest. Because you see, talking to the oppressor before protest is a waste of time. They ain't hearing it. They heard nothing Kaepernick said when he was kneeling. But they hear him now. If we would protest like Jesus, we must move through confrontation and through circumscribed action toward a comprehensive reconciliation. Reconciliation that is infused with corrective teaching. Because the truth of the matter is, reconciliation is the model and the ministry and the mantra of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the essence of our faith, this call to comprehensive reconciliation. In fact, I would dare say from a theological perspective that protest presents to us Christians, followers of the Prince of Protest, that protest itself presents to us an image of the gospel. Because the truth of the matter is that Jesus coming to us, Emmanuel, is at its core an act of divine protest. Watch the story of divine protest unfold. When humankind sinned in the Garden of Eden, God staged a protest. It was confrontational. God put all the offenders out. The participants and the instigators had to go. It was confrontational. Divine protest was confrontational, but it was also circumscribed. It was circumscribed because God didn't wipe the slate clean and start over. God didn't destroy all of creation. Adam and Eve were put out, never to return, but God let them live. The serpent was cursed, but God didn't curse the cows. It was circumscribed. Thorns and thistles began to grow, but there were also roses and grain and fruit trees. And God's protest, which began in Eden, was comprehensive because God said when humankind fell that the seed of the woman was coming and that the seed of the woman would set things right. So began the protest that seeks to reconcile all of creation. Divine protest. It started in the Garden of Eden. But God's protest kept right on moving. It moved down through 40 and two generations. And God kept on protesting through the patriarchs and the matriarchs of the faith. God kept on protesting through the establishment of the old covenant and the sacrificial system, through the rule of the judges and the reign of the kings, through the preaching of the prophets. God kept on protesting. God protested to confront us in our sin. God called out acts, both individual and collective, whereby we rebel against God. From Adam to Eve, even until now, God is yet protesting. And I hope you see that protest is not a sprint, it's a marathon. Over time, the form of the protest has got to change, but its essence never does. You got to see that protest is not just biblical, protest is divine. We have the urge to protest because we've been made in the image and in the likeness of the cosmic protester. In and through the gospel, our God confronts our sin, and God's protest is confrontational, yet it is circumscribed. God's confronting of sin is aimed at changing the hearts of those who rebel against God. And I got to tell you, it's circumscribed. It's not designed to change who we are. It's not designed to change our race or change our political persuasion. It's not designed to change our demographics. The gospel is designed to change our hearts. It's circumscribed. The gospel calls to us, to all of us, to each of us, to change our hearts. For if and only if our hearts are changed, can we experience the comprehensive reconciliation made possible through the gospel. The gospel is protest. That's why Mark says to us, Jesus came preaching, repent and believe the gospel. Jesus's ministry is a model for protest. We ought to protest like Jesus, the Prince of Protest. We ought to protest with the same benchmarks that Jesus uses, both in the temple and in the hearts of humankind. Our protest must be confrontational. It must be circumscribed, and it must be comprehensive. And we've got to keep on protesting until there's victory. That's what Jesus did. He didn't give up the divine protest until victory was won. He was born protesting, born to a virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, but he kept on protesting. He didn't stay dead. He didn't stay in the grave. Jesus protested until his blood flowed for the remission of sins. He died in protest until the captives in hell were made free. He protested until the way for reconciliation was open to all. And yes, he's protesting right now as he sits at the hand of the Father in heaven, making intercession for you and for me. God protested for 42 generations. Then he ran a protest movement on earth for 33 years. And though Jesus went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Ghost to keep the fires of protest burning. Keep marching. Keep fighting. Keep voting. Keep protesting until victory is won. Victory is coming. I heard the prophet Joel talk about it, and John the Revelator wrote about it in visions that he saw. There is victory after protest. It's the promise of God. It's the promise of God that there is victory after protest, where the lion and the lamb eat straw together. And the people study war no more, because instruments of domination have been remade for the benefit of all. Swords have been recrafted into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. I'm trying to tell you, victory follows protest. A time of true peace Where the weak can say, I'm strong. Where the wicked shall cease from troubling. Where we will have rest. Protest like Jesus. Protest like the God of our weary years. The God of our silent tears. The God who has brought us thus far on the way. Keep protesting. Protest like Jesus. Be confrontational. Circumscribed. Comprehensive in your approach. Let us march on till victory is won. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because He has anointed us to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent us to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. God has sent us to protest. It's a matter of being comprehensive, circumscribed, confrontational. It's protesting like Jesus. Protesting after the ministry, the model, and the mantra of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Himself the Prince of Protest. This is the Word of God.